Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo, and unfortunately it says we're not streaming, so yeah.
It only says that because you called after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, but if we're not streaming, it doesn't work, does it, Lila?
It will start in just, don't you understand?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't do that because I have to call live help and get us help.
Okay.
All right? So that's the problem. We're being recorded, so everyone heard that.
The last time it came on.
Yeah, well, not this time.
So we'll see what happens. But anyway, tonight we're going to have George on, as we do every Friday night, George, to talk with us about different things, esoteric knowledge. Talk to us about the Mayan calendar, what's happening with that, and other interesting stuff in the universe.
Yeah.
He should be with us in a few minutes.
Yeah, it's John.
So, it could be that it says status connected.
Connected to him.
Oh, okay. Maybe he can help us. If you go back, maybe it'll stream now. So we'll see. Sometimes it just takes a minute.
Streaming now.
Now it is, okay.
All right, we're streaming now, which is great. So thanks, John. I don't know if you did anything, but
we appreciate it.
We are now streaming.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay.
So we'll send that to him?
Yeah. Anyway, let's go.
Gonna send it.
That's a print chat.
Oh.
So we're
and George is there.
So we're live, and George is with us. Tonight we have George Dixon with us, and
him on the line.
Hey, George.
Yeah, good evening.
How are you? We had a bit of a rough start. We weren't streaming there, so that's why it took us a few minutes. So Leo had to email someone in the control room or whatever they have here for Blog Talk Radio. I'm not quite sure. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, but it sounded like a repeat of last week. He had the same thing last week, I think.
Or the week before. I think what happens if you call like at 8 o'clock or just a few seconds after, that's what seems to happen. But if Leo calls before 8 o'clock, it doesn't happen. So I think it's something to do with it.
Sometimes.
Sometimes
I call before and it doesn't work. Like last night, it cut out like in the halfway through the show on, I think, Wednesday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or Thursday, last night, maybe, or something. They cut out through about half the show.
So little glitches now and again and here and there. But anyway, all's well. As Bill would tell us, Mercury must be in retrograde.
Retrograde?
Yes, because he said that's the sign of communication.
That's right.
And if you have problems with communication, it's in retrograde in your sign.
Well, the way I look at it, you know, it may be retrograde, but it gives character to the mental thinking. So, you know, how was your week, folks?
Oh, mine was very busy because it was a short work week with Monday being Memorial Day, a holiday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It kind of, you have to try to put 5 days of work into 4 days.
Plus, you're winding out the year pretty soon, aren't you?
Well,
school year.
Yeah, but for me, that doesn't lessen what I have to do.
Okay.
In my particular area, which is counseling, you know, you're not dealing with a curriculum that you have a timeline on. You're dealing sometimes with personal issues or systems issues.
Mm-hmm.
Those are continual. So there is no end.
It keeps you busy.
It keeps me busy. There might be some highs and lows, but there is no end to it, because there's always something when you're working with a system or you're working with individuals.
Yeah.
You know, there's always an issue or two. So
how are you doing there, George?
I can't complain. it does me no good anyways. I think I had a nice holiday. It was really nice.
Oh,
and
good.
Soon afterwards, we got some rain up this way. And I don't care for that, so I'm just waiting for it to dry out a bit. And hopefully this weekend it will, but who's to say? If nothing, it adds character to the weekend and character to the activities.
That's the forecast. We're supposed to, here in Connecticut, have good weather for the weekend, but it was kind of rainy off and on here today as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good for the plants, and I'm sure the listeners that are listening who like the outside are happy with that too. So we were talking last week about the Mayan calendar. We were talking about other issues, too. I've forgotten exactly where we left off last week. Do you remember?
Well, I think it's in following the events that are happening from a linear perspective. There's
right.
an emotional itinerary that's being played out. And if nothing, it's just our belief systems. Those are being played out. But it's the emotional aspect that I said the fifth day brought out, both the daytime and the nighttime. And it deals with understanding this dualistic physical world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. And
That has to do with the or connects with the emotional world or the emotional attachment to things, because the emotions or the imagination can put any kind of a flavoring or a covering over any emotion, and that basically is what happens. It is just a shield, but it's the emotional body that actually gives it substance or gives it direction. But I'm just going off. But I think that basically was the avenue that we were following, and we ended up with last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember years ago going back to Terence McKenna's work. I think I've mentioned him a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And he died I think in 2001 or two.
Oh,
but he had a lot of good information.
I didn't know he was dead. Yeah, I watched that video you sent. You sent on it, and I don't know if I fully understood what he was saying about this 2012 with the yes. He had the chart and so on where he was showing the different declines and the rises and declines and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was showing a graph using novelty as the focus, the novelty of life and of everything. It follows a pattern.
I didn't understand his use of the word novelty here, what mm-hmm. he was talking about. I mean, are we talking about newness? Or are we talking about...
Yes, newness. Newness.
Yeah.
Or completion of something.
Yeah, I didn't follow that. I had difficulty with that. And I had difficulty understanding where the hell he was going with it. I mean, it didn't. I could see where it dropped off in 2012, but it dropped off, you know, every few years. It seemed
mm-hmm.
a depression and a rise and a depression in his chart. So I couldn't really understand what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The more I got into it, and mm-hmm. The more I listened to it, I said, well, "Where is he going with this? Is it coming back? Is it the end? Is it what is he talking about?"
Well, he's going back from the very beginning, from the Big Bang. You know, since then, things have happened, or a novelty was displayed, action to a reaction to the action that was originally 11 or 13 billion years ago. I'm not sure, but the Mayans basically talked about the same thing, but that's going back 16.4 billion years.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it follows a pattern or a cycle. And what Terence did is that over time, he has actually noted the different changes, you know, even from the plant life on this planet, you know, from from flowers to trees and so forth.
What was he measuring, George? Was he measuring some rhythm or something?
He was measuring the manifestation, just like it was during the Saurik years that flowers came into being, or more predominant. And that basically was part of evolution playing a role for food substance for dinosaurs or for animals.
Would that reflect the upward swing?
It would represent a swing in movement, genetic movements, or the evolutionary movements. Just like it took flowers something like 780 million years for it to manifest or for it to fully develop. But that's that span of time that we're talking about a novelty taking place.
But I didn't understand how he found this novelty. I mean, how he figured out this graph.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how the hell did he know it was a billion years between?
System.
No. You got to see the thing in order to understand why I'm confused with it. Because
I told myself that what I'm going to do is I'm going to dig out of my library, all my papers and notes on Terence, because a lot of what he's saying is actually correlating this information that I've learned, about the Mayan calendar. He was saying basically the same thing, but we're going back starting in the 70s and the 80s of understanding this evolutionary evolution of consciousness.
Right. I couldn't really follow it that well with what he was saying, because I couldn't grasp I could understand the ups and downs in his graph, but I couldn't understand what the hell he was basing it on, and how he could go back 13 billion years, right? And how he had any evidence to go back that far, and how he had any anything, I didn't understand his graph, and then I couldn't understand where he came up with a 2012 flat line, all right? I had no idea how the hell that came up.
The end of evolution?
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know. I watched it twice, George, and it made me confused the second time around because I just couldn't grasp where he was getting the essential information that was causing that was creating his chart, Like, I could understand with the Mayan calendar, because the Mayan calendar was based on astrological predictions and so on and so forth. But what I don't know what his predictions were based on, other than high and low points in civilization. But, how he could go back 13 billion years, how the hell does this guy know what 13 billion years ago was like, Maybe it contradicted the Mayans, because the Mayans went back 16.3 billion years. So he was off by 3 billion years, which, that's a considerable amount of time. So I couldn't follow him. It was difficult. Maybe you can explain this a little better.
I gotta remember to explain myself, because, like I said, it's been years since I've followed his work. And I ran across some of the information on the Internet I sent you, but I really haven't had time to go back and really to digest it again. Other than what he's done is actually what caught my attention, is that he talks about in the last 200 years or since the last shift in the 1700s, that was really the ending of this time period, and that ended in 2011, 2012. And what he did is that he correlated novelty. At that point, we have reviewed over 5,000 years of evolution in the last 150 years, and we're going to continue that until 2011 and 2000. I believe the fall of 2011, and then actually all movement stops, or it doesn't stop. It comes to some kind of a barrier. And
there's some place on his chart, I forget what it was, 1999, I think, or something.
Yes.
In the 90s, when all of a sudden his chart took a deep plunge, like you know, way down to the bottom, and then it just kind of like it never reached that zenith again, and then it rises and falls and rises and falls and rises and falls. You know, it looks like a stock market chart, and then all of a sudden, like in 2012, it just plummets, and then it just stays there. You know, like I don't know, 2011, and then into 2012, and it's just a flat line. And I honest to God didn't understand what he was doing. I mean, it made more sense. The Mayans made a hell of a lot more sense to me than this guy did, only because I couldn't, and I saw another video that you sent over. That one seemed to make a little more sense, but this one here was, you know, all in a psychedelic swirl, and whoever redid the video kind of, you know, put music behind it and made it more confusing.
Yes.
Than ever. You know, I hate it when they do that stuff.
What if you looked at it as the end of evolution? That there is no more to evolve. You know. The plan of we're going to evolve so far and that's it.
Like
you have genetics and you walk at a certain time, you talk at a certain time, your brain, that's what he was saying.
But there was no more novelty or something.
Yeah. No more evolution.
Everything just flatlined at that time.
Well, what caught my attention is that he was able to pinpoint the time from 1952 to 1972 as the same time that the Mayans fell, and it was the end of Islam, or Islam took a turn in the belief systems, and that was part of the building up of the cycle before with a Christo manifestation. What I'm saying is that he pinpointed that, let's say, year 900 was the fall of the Mayans, which is true. And that happened within that fifth night and sixth day that we're in right now. And we're just feeling the reverberations of the fall that we experienced in the last year. The same is with the Mayans. When the Mayan Empire fell, you know, it took 400 years or so forth for it to actually experience or complete the pattern. But we're completing that now within this year. So it will be the fall of that empire, but also it will be the fall not only of the system that we're in now that we've been talking about, the financial situation. It's the fall itself that we're experiencing, and it will be greater in the sixth night, where it's not just us falling, America falling. It's the whole world, or the whole united world, I should say. You know, it's actually us itself, or ourselves, that's actually going to fall, and that's the belief systems that we've built into our way of life. And this is not something that we've gained in this last period, you know, since the 1700s of domesticating, let's say, America and the world. But this is the completion of where we were at that point with 4,000 years behind us of evolution. So we're in for a real roller coaster ride. And, you know, it's not that it hasn't come out yet. It has come out. But the falls, the ups and downs are going to be much more meaningful.
Do you think that what we hear in the media is, oh, there seems to be a bit of a recovery and all this kind of stuff? I don't think they're telling us the truth, because I don't think there is any recovery.
Well, what could they say?
Yeah.
Well, they did a good job of saying how bad things were, you know. But it's like, you know, I can't believe anything they say anyway. I stopped believing the media a lot of years ago, but now it's just getting worse. It's worse than it ever was, you know, with what they're talking about and how they cover up everything.
They're not truthful.
And, no, and they just, they,
well,
you
know, they try to coat it with sugar and frosting and everything, but you really can't do that. I mean, the facts are facts. Just like General Motors, right now on the brink of bankruptcy. Look at all those people who are out of work. I mean, they make it sound like it's nothing, but you know what happens when you lose your job. When there's nothing there.
Yeah. But here's something even more sinister. I mean, you know, they're filing bankruptcy, all right? They're closing all these dealerships, and now they're recruiting more dealerships, all right? They're closing dealerships that are successful, actually, all right, and have been in business for 50, 60 years, all right? And at the same time, they're closing these, and they're starting up, they're recruiting new dealerships, all right? Doesn't make any sense. From all over the world, all over the country, and in the same marketplaces, they're closing some, which is totally absurd. And you know, to me, it looks like just another big bank screwover,
reshuffling,
just a screwball, screw America, screw, you know, screw, constant screw, and.
I don't think they're actually screwing us. I think they're just trying to save themselves from drowning. And you know, these are just part of the strings that are being pulled. But they themselves, they don't have the power like they used to. Even the banking system that right now is teeter-tottering because of the world banks. You know, the Federal Reserve is one group. But there's a lot of other factors here on a world basis that's got to come into play, and even that can't be organized, you know, into something that could follow. Like I said, it's not only us that are screwed up. You know, it's the whole world, and it is meeting of the minds. It's like the Tower of Babel. You know, everybody speaks a different language, and that language has been me for so many years. And now nobody is hearing anything. They're just running for their lives, and it's gonna continue that way. The only thing to do is stay calm and just try to collect yourself the best you can and deal with your real intent, the real intent, the meanings of life and of your way of living. You know, I mean, still have to go out and make some kind of a living and buy food and come home and raise a family and so forth. But you know, it's having somebody else take care of that for you. You do it yourself, and you can't rely on.
But it's come to a point now where you know, so many millions of people have lost jobs, lost their potential, and lost even the ability to do that. You know, we don't know what's going to happen, but.
Leo, they've been able, some of them have been able to, you know, make ends meet, just like their part-time jobs now, or what jobs they have. They're just going to have to use whatever income they can out of that to live on, and they will. But, you know, it's a matter of just compensating wherever you can and meeting the basic needs.
I hear you.
Well, I guess we've come to expect more than just meeting our basic needs.
Yeah, I mean, a caveman met their basic needs. That's why we're hoping we can do a little better than that. But once people...
Well, I think, Leo, we have that potential, and that's what we were talking about last week, is that, you know, instead of waiting and relying on outside means, you know, to take care of a situation... to take matters into our own hand, even with our own health. And, you know, I've been raving about the energies that we're receiving and the powers that we have, you know, in changing our DNA. But it's through actually believing or changing those deficiencies around us and turning them around from the inside out instead of the outside in.
Oh, that's right. We have to rely on ourselves.
Well, let's concentrate now again on 2011, October 28th, 2011. All right, which is supposed to be the day that that everything ends. What do we expect? expect.
What physical signs, maybe?
Not just physical, but, yeah. I mean, what physical, what obvious signs can we expect? I mean, how are we going to...
And what might we feel within ourselves?
Yeah, how are we going to feel about this? How are we going to live through this?
Leo, you said it's the end, October the 11th, 2011?
October 28th.
October 28th.
2011.
Right.
2011.
Yeah.
Right. Why do you think that's the end?
Well, it's the end of space and time as we know it.
No.
So what does that mean? I mean, that's the time that your Terrence guy, that's another period, flat lines. Everything flatlines at that point, all right? So what does that mean? I mean, do we flatline as well? Does the world flatline, the physical world? Or is it just something that will happen that's not measurable by any human means, you know? What are we looking at here?
Well...
Are we going to ascend at that point to some other dimension that's not recognizable here?
Well, I think what we would do is we would slow down to where we could enter into that next dimension. But it's like a coin that's turning. It comes to a stop, but yet it goes the other way. So right now, it's like things are winding down, and they'll come to a stop, then they'll turn in the opposite direction. It's not that they stop. You know, it's like part of the movement, or it's just like the movement where we don't experience actual movements. It's like the orbit of the Earth, the tilting of the Earth. When we tilt on December, I think, 21st or 22nd, well, we've come to the end of the tilt, and what happens is starts going back the other way. But in those 3 days, is those days that we don't move, and it's not a stopping period, but it's a slowing down of the period to a stop.
But we don't feel anything, really.
No, you won't. No. We will, because at this day we will have our faculties behind us, and it's like changing our clothes or getting in a new car. And what we do is that we take it out for a drive, and then we bring it back, and we stop and we put it in idle, and the vehicle is ready to go. But right now, we're just waiting for direction and where to go and what to experience with that vehicle.
Well, I was thinking this, George, if evolution, everything in our world has always had a pattern. There's a beginning,
a pattern,
and there's an end.
Yes. Okay.
In everything. The human body only lasts so long. A cat only lives so long. A dog only lives so long. A tree only lives so long. A fish only lives so long. It's just how it is. And now the world if everything follows that kind of divine plan of how things are, then that's what's happening to this too. We've had the beginning, we've had the middle, and now we're at the end.
Mm-hmm. So then we're at the end. So then there'll be a beginning, middle, and end again.
Well, you never end, because you continue. There's no ending. Ending is not part of the course. Once it's in movement, just like when you die, you think that's the end, but it's not the end. What you're doing is you're just changing. It's like energy. You can't destroy energy. It will just revert to the next in line to receive it, or that's in its way. Well, it's like our body may decompose, but the minerals and the energies that within that body, what it does, it will drain into the ground or drain into other life forms around it that would use its essence.
Okay.
And I don't want to get into the soul. I mean, the soul continues on, but it just changes its form and it changes its mode of operandi. So that basically is what's happening. It's like once energy is put in motion, you know, it's in motion and it will continue. And in following, in understanding that motion from a linear perspective, you can even predict where it's going and where it came from. And it's like the golden mean spiral. You know, once you're on that spiral of energy, of that flow is something that you could follow. But it comes to a point where that energy won't stop, but it will change dimensions or change the octave of itself, and it would revert to a higher mode or a higher frequency.
Well, and that's a possibility of what's going to happen, don't you think?
Well, that is what's happening, and that's what's going to continue to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this energy or this change is part of the change us as souls are making, you know, a shift from this third-dimensional reality into a fourth-dimensional density. So we're shifting from a physical form, you know, to a more etheric form.
And Leo was asking, will we notice anything happening to ourselves when this happens? Or will it just feel like...
No, but I feel at that time you'll have complete control of your faculties. Not only your mental mind, your emotional mind, but also your body too. And I talk about the consciousness, how we can change our body or our DNA or the cells in our body. And this will be a time where we know where we could be individual gods, if you want to call it that, you know, because we control this illusion, this reality that we're projecting to and back to us. Because we are holding this together. But at that time, it will be the change that we will have. Instead of holding this reality together, we'll be holding a different reality.
Well, let's say there's a paraplegic who, you know, is or quadriplegic, and, you know, 2000 or October 28th, 2011 comes around, and suddenly... he grows back all of his limbs and he walks upright.
Well, is that what's going to happen?
Could that possibly happen, or is that what will be able to happen, or what?
No, because I think that would be de-evolving back to needing the use of these things. Why would he want these at that time when he doesn't need them anymore? And that basically is where he's outgrown the need for that, even though the need became something on a personal nature, and that's why there was a deficiency, you know, in its operation, or its physical operation.
Yeah, but
I'm saying that he's not going to want that.
He's at that point too, or what?
What's that? Yeah, he's at that point where this is secondary.
No, I mean, I'm sure it's primary, but he has to function without it, But we're, you know, you get
the rest of us.
The rest of us who aren't, are we going to lose our bodies, or are we going to, you know, walk out of our physical?
How do you see that, George?
Physical bodies, or what?
Well, you know, this goes back to I think the 18th dynasty in Egypt with Akhenaten and what he was doing. And he was talking about ascending the whole body at the same time, ascending to a higher dimension, but also taking that body with you. And the understanding of ascension was rising above the physical body and, of course, being able to come back and manifest with a physical body, but you know, not not the same one. You know, it's just using physical matter and a body, you know, for its purpose, and that's just a vehicle.
We could all wind up dying here and then ascending into new bodies or new vehicles in another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, is that possible? Or?
Oh yeah, if you needed a body in that dimension, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's like the Tat Brotherhood. It was a spinoff of the Atlanterians years ago, where what they did is that they used to have bodies deep down in the earth, you know, under the pyramids, and you know, they would have them on in chambers, and every couple hundred years, when they needed a body to communicate with the people on the outside, they would go and take the body or take over control of the body and go up and do what they have to do, you know, among the people. And then when they get done, they go back down and lay their body back where it was. And, you know, it's just using the body for a purpose. And part of understanding some of the Brotherhood, what they did do in those earlier years, and I'm going back, since 72 B.C., where the because of the state that humans were in, the Brotherhood was able to give some of the knowledge that we had back then, you know, to the people of the time. And it was like a stair-step evolution. And if you go back, you know, 6,000-7,000 years, you see all our expertise and so forth was on a stair-step type of know-how. And it wasn't something that evolved, you know, naturally. And that's what they, that's what the these angelic entities did.
How did they preserve those bodies, though, those physical bodies?
Excuse me?
I said, how did they preserve those bodies so that they were usable?
Well, I personally don't know how they did that, Leo. Oh. I'm sure if they had control over physical matter, they could do that. You can go back to some of the stories of the early church and some of the saints, and how some of these people died, and they didn't age, and their body hasn't deteriorated. If you can even go to India and some of the masters, where their body just didn't disintegrate. And it's still moist, and but you know, it's not used; it just doesn't decay.
Oh.
So you know, it does happen to human bodies, but who's to say?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me. But this thing really, you know, George, the question that continually boggles my mind, and I can't seem to get around it. Is this 2011? I mean, I can't get around it. It's like, you know, it's either like the greatest myth, okay?
Well, we're going to find out soon.
Yeah, we're going to find out soon, but I can't figure out not only how to prepare for it, but how to how to grasp it in my mind, get my mind around it.
Well, instead of trying to think about it, why don't you just feel it? Use your imagination. Whatever your imagination can conjure up in your...
Yeah, I guess so. I mean...
your feeling mode, that is what you'll experience. That's what it's...
But I have this intrinsic fear of like, why, you know, like if you put, you know, all your money on a horse and it doesn't come in, you're broke, you know? So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I'm putting all my money on this horse October 28th, 2011, and saying, well, what difference does it, you know, it doesn't, whatever we do from here till then will become irrelevant, okay, to anything. It won't make any sense.
No. that is relevant on everything that we do between now and then. You got it backwards, Leo.
I guess. Because it still doesn't make a whole lot of
sense. Doesn't that make sense?
What? That, what?
What you do is important.
I don't know. I don't know, George.
It's what you do now that you're going to experience in 2011. It's not 2011 what you're going to experience now. What you got to do is that 2011 is only going to mean what the experience of the buildup between now and then is.
Yeah.
And what catches your attention.
Right.
You know, you could say that at that time, you know, for a person who loves money, that at that time I won't need any money because, you know, I'll have all the money in the world. But, you know, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, or take the guy who has all the money in the world now. Yeah, in 2 years, it'll be worthless. And what does that mean?
What
does that mean?
Leo, it's worthless now. Understand that it's one big illusion because that money is worthless. It's nothing. It has nothing of value.
No, I know that from that standpoint. But
so 2 years, you know, you're talking about 2 years. That was like a year ago that happened. So, you know, you're talking past tense, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to make an announcement, by the way, for everyone who's listening, who's trying to break, is, you know, the chat room. I can't open the chat room tonight because they're doing maintenance on it, and they're hoping to make it operational soon. I got a message here from them. But so just so you know that anybody who's been trying to figure out why I haven't opened the chat is because I can't open the chat. And because of the new chat room.
The old chat room is operational.
No, it's not. I just tried it. And I keep getting the oops page. So that's not even correct.
Well, better yet, why don't you just call in and we can talk over the phone.
The phone works. So, you know, anybody who would like to call in and talk to us, we've got about 17 minutes left. To the show while we're streaming. So
the phone number is area code 646-915-9505.
What? That's correct. Yeah, you're right.
George, what kind of, have you noticed any subtle changes in the last year or so? Or have you picked up anything in the last few months that would indicate to you that there's going to be a change, yourself personally? What have you felt, or what have you seen, or what have you thought?
Well, there's so many different avenues that I could go with this. It's like just flowing with the times and with whatever's going on. In the last couple of years, or last year. Things have been moving so damn fast, and it's not something that I could have predicted, and yet I couldn't predict the movements that it's taken and where it's taken me now. And I don't know, I feel much more content with not only myself but also my life and things around me, my family and so forth, than I have in years. It's like the quiet time. It's finally paid off in a matter of speaking, and it's not that, you know, I have my whole life ahead of me. I have a full life behind me, and I still have a lot more to go. But, you know, it's not having to look at life the way I used to. What I'm doing is just trying to see life for what it is. And that's including the people around me, and I think adapting to all situations.
Well, you could say that that is a result of maturity, and the result of a life worked hard in retirement. You could, people who are retired or have matured could say the same thing, and don't you think?
Yeah, but, you know, it's what behind that. The world is simple, and, you know, we make it so damn complicated that it's scary at times. When was the last time You know, you got a piece of chalk and went out to the sidewalk and just wrote numbers or draw art. When was the last time on Sunday you took a ride in a car and had a picnic?
Yeah.
Oh. you know, but it's like these are things that we forget, you know, that we used to do or we have done. But these are things now that people are, I think, coming in contact with or experiencing for the, maybe the first time in their lives. I remember when I was a kid on Sunday afternoons, we used to, you know, hop in my father's car and, you know, take a half-hour ride and stop off at the ice cream shop and everybody have an ice cream cone. And it's like doing things together that were meaningful instead of having to do something because we have to. And it's enjoying experiencing other people's or other people's company, but also experiencing the company of the things around us that we take for granted.
We're doing exactly the same thing, but cars were a novelty then. It was after World War II, mm-hmm. and you know, very few people had cars.
Yeah.
If families had one car, so if you got a chance to ride it and on Sunday afternoon, you were lucky.
Yeah.
You got it for an ice cream.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it was in 1952 or 53.
Well, I was lucky because my father owned an ice cream store. He had like a Dairy Queen type of thing. So we had ice cream all the time.
I couldn't wait for the pond to freeze over so I can go over to my aunt's and ice skate in the wintertime. And, you know, have some hot chocolate after skating all day. But kids still do that nowadays. But sometimes they get so bogged down with hockey and soccer and everything else, and it's more of a competing world out there instead of a having fun world. But, hey, look, at what can I say? I see a lot of changes. And I'm looking at things very optimistically because right now it's finally putting to bed a lot of the stuff that are putting to sleep all these illusions we've been living under, and myself included. You know, I don't I acknowledge them also, but going beyond that illusion, just like money, Leo, and the truth of money, there is no money, and it is just one big illusion, just like the illusion of General Motors now coming out of this thing, you know, now smelling like a rose, is not going to happen because the system and the system that they're playing with, or that they're involved with, you can't change the system to make it better. It's a dead issue. So what you got to do is you got to dump the whole system and start afresh or start anew. And that's what's happening, if we like it or not. And, you know, if you want to get involved with politics and take a look at the political changes, you know, not only to the Treasury Department, but also to our Judicial Department, you see that the changes are in motion right now, and it's a matter of just sitting back and watching them play out.
That's true. No, I was thinking like these idiots at General Motors, they're coming out with the electric Volt, right? The Chevy Volt. Now, that only goes like about 200 miles on a charge, right? Maybe
yes.
Not even that. And where the hell are they going to, unless they can go home, where the hell are they going to charge that thing? You know?
Charge it at the office.
They're going to charge it at the office? They're going to charge, where are they going to get the charge? You know? How are they going to pay for that charge? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. All right? The only thing I can see is you only use it if you're going to go from your home back to your home, and you only live within 50-mile radius, okay, of it.
Like I could use it to go back and forth to work.
Yeah, but anybody who has to drive, I mean, you know, I don't know if you, and who the hell knows how much it's going to cost to charge your battery, that kind of a battery for 8 or 10 hours a day, you know what I mean? Which is what it's going to need. So,
Leo, we talked about all the alternative energy and alternative sources. Cars that run on air,
and the problem is that it's totally 100% dependable upon the grid, the electric grid. It doesn't make its own electricity.
So what I'm saying to you is that regardless of these electrical cars and so forth, it's irrelevant because right now we're going to replace them and give it another year and a half using these suckers on the market. Probably if, 6 months after that, you'll be able to drive them and fly them at the same time.
Yeah, but right now, the federal government, we the people, own 72% of General Motors.
Yeah, well.
72%.
We'll see what happens with this government.
General Motors is going into the shitter, so where does that put our stake in General Motors?
We own 72% of nothing.
Yeah, of a dead company. Right.
So let's take a look at an illusion and think of it as understand it as an illusion to begin with, instead of playing games with it and coming back later on and only coming to the realization it's an illusion. It's an illusion now,
yeah.
And the illusion is opening up and it's being exposed for what it is.
Well, I just hope it's not going to enslave the American people.
Well, it's going to, dear, because so much of us depend upon it. And right now, it's breaking away these relationships that will free ourselves, that's for sure. But, you know, we are part of the system. And what we have to do is bow out peacefully, but, you know, put things in perspective.
Yeah,
you know, understand that it's not going to help you if you continue with a sore loser. You have to look elsewhere.
Well, General Motors stock is 75 cents, the lowest that it's been in since the Depression. 75 cents, and going down because that stock is worthless.
Bankrupt. Stock is totally worthless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once they go bankrupt, the stock becomes totally worthless.
Yep.
There's my point. It's illusion. So let's erase that and go to something else.
Who the hell would want to even buy the stock?
Well, I think about the people that had jobs there. What's going to happen to them?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're going to have to replace them with something.
Well, how about the
sure they will.
Guys who got their pensions wrapped up in that stock and in that company. Now it's going to be worth a piece of nothing.
Everybody's going to hurt a bit, but you know they'll be able to bounce back. Just like there's plenty of industry here in this country. All we have to do is just start up these factories again and, you know, produce our own goods instead of relying on, you know, outside companies, you know, to fill those needs for what we need. You know, it's ludicrous with our government now that, you know, we closed down our steel mills, and now the steel that we get is really imported, and they see agreements with these outside countries. I mean, it's ludicrous. What we got to do is start producing our own steel again and our own industry, and that will, if nothing else, at least put some of us Americans back at work again, but also give us something to stand on, you know, as a foundation or a job or an education. You know, these kids nowadays, you can only do so much with a computer, but you need hands-on. Workmanship that you know is part of the trade industry, but part of our the knowledge put into our goods.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, but here again, who's to say? Because the world is coming closely to some kind of a closure point, and we're not going to need this anymore because we're not going to need this physical reality to have fun with. We're going to move on.
Yeah, well, maybe, but I think we got a bunch of idiots sitting in the White House right this minute. We haven't had anybody intelligent sitting there since probably George Washington or Thomas Jefferson. I don't think anybody's had half a brain since then.
Well.
So I mean, we're just floundering and continue to flounder and. I was telling you, I think I told you earlier, but I found out that Obama is a 32nd degree Mason. All right, so that tells you that we're completely screwed. All right, and it's amazing that none of that information came out during the election or even after the election. It took until May for it to come out. All right. And even then, it only came out in a very quiet way. I happened to read it on the back page of an article. So it's like, but the fact that, that he's a Mason at all is amazing. And that he's climbed the highest levels there is tells you that, you know, he's one of the boys. And
well, the 33rd is not the highest level, Leo. That's just only that's a level, but it's not the highest level. There are levels way above that too.
No, he may be higher, but that's the publicly known level. All right, is 32. That 33rd degree is when you take a pledge to Lucifer, and then after that, it's who the hell knows. There are other degrees beyond that of insanity. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, the guy's a bought and sold puppet, and it's not going to get much better there. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that in 2011, all right, the end of the system, that, I mean, we see the total end of the system. And I'm hoping we do. And pray that something better comes along that can be trusted and believed in.
I would say that if you take a look at the Constitution, mm-hmm. the Constitution is not a bad piece of knowledge to live by. But we don't live by the Constitution. That has been scrapped years ago.
By it anymore, George.
What's that?
We don't even live by it anymore.
That's right.
That's an illusion right now. Okay,
but in understanding that, you know, this government, first of all, this is a republic. And we own this land. I'm talking about the peoples that live here. This is our land. All we do is that we hire people to run the government activities for us. It's not that they tell us what to do. We tell them what to do. And if they don't like what they do, we vote them out of office. And
that's true. You know that. Come on.
What's
now.
That?
No, that doesn't work that way anymore.
Yeah, but understand, that is the basic our basic way of life here, Leo.
Right.
And it's not, we don't live by the Constitution now, that's for sure. But but the Constitution itself is pretty decent.
It's a viable living thing. But the problem is that, you know, we haven't lived by that Constitution in 100 years,
yeah.
Maybe more. And, you know, and it's just...
the British couldn't stand it.
It's a joke.
You could talk about redoing it,
right.
Or rebuilding it, but I think if we stick with the original Constitution, we'd be okay as starters. But there's some changes that could be made. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, there had to be some amendments, but what...
There's nothing. It's got to... we got to bring to a halt what's in motion now.
FISA acts and none of this shit that's happened in the last 10 years. Right?
Yeah.
No
enhanced communication or whatever
they
call it.
Or no NAFTA or no none of these things that take away our sovereignty. All right. Instead, that's all that's been happening in the last 10, 20 years, stripping away, chipping away of our sovereignty. And
eavesdropping.
Yeah. You know.
Well, it's the illusion that we live under, just like we... we are titles. We are like a corporation, and the government is the corporation which own us because we are part of the agreement with them.
Right.
And everything is an agreement. It's an illusion. And that illusion bubble is bursted right now, and it's being exposed for what it is. And understanding right now the problems with the finances and with the credit cards, you know, it's just a contractual agreement that we signed that puts us in this mess.
George, I got to break in for a minute. We got 53 seconds remaining before our stream before we stop streaming, and I want people to be able to call if they'd like to continue or to ask any questions at 646-915-9505. Please give us a call if you want to stay with us for a little while or have any questions at all to ask George or myself or Lila at 646-915-9505. You get 25 seconds to make the call. After that, we are saying goodnight to you, and you can pick up the show on the archives.
Well,
so,
George,
thanks for joining us, though.
I'm with you. I'm going to enjoy the ride, whatever it is.
Why not?
You know,
it could be a stormy day. You know, you wake up to a stormy morning, but if nothing else, a storm adds character for that day. And, you know, if you look at it under that pretense, you'll never go wrong because it's going to be different and it's not going to follow the normal pattern unless you want it to. Yeah.
And hope for the best and trust that the Creator has something better in store for all of us.
That's what I'm hoping for because it's all that we can really.
Well, you know, I don't look for it. I let it come to me.
Yeah.
And it's like Mother Nature. The other day I was out of my lower 40, part of my wooded area, and for some reason I was just drawn, you know, like 50 feet in and 100 feet this way. And, you know, I'm asking myself, what the hell am I doing in here with ticks and mice and everything else? But, you know, I looked over to my left, and there was a baby fawn. It looked like the mother just put it down about a day before. And the thing, you know, I don't know if it was alive or not, but I watched it for a minute, and it was breathing, but it didn't move. And so what I did is slowly, quietly backed out, followed my footsteps, because I knew the mother was close by. But, you know, I had maybe a minute and a half with that fawn, and I was about 5 feet away. But, you know, it's something like that I don't see every day, and it gave me a nice warm feeling inside. But, you know, it's like I wasn't asking for this, but, you know, it's like within my heart, sometimes I get the intuition, you know, to walk 5 feet this way for some reason. I don't know why. But, you know, life always has something to show me. And it's not that I'm looking for something.
Yeah.
It's that I'm open for anything. And, see, that's the trick the mind plays because, see, the mind can't deal with the present. They can only deal with the past and what I've experienced and the future, what I want to experience and blah, blah, blah. But it's the intuition that actually lives within the moment. And it was a nice experience for me. And my days are filled with things like that. But I'm learning how not to think. And I know for a fact now that I don't know everything, that, you know, I only know the basics. And with that humble attitude, you know, life treats me good.
Yeah. No, you're right, George. We feel that way, too, in a lot of ways, and we've just been mosey along.
Isn't that the purpose of life? I mean, before we get all carried away and, you know, what we have to offer or what humanity calls for us to be?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like the cowboy just in the movies that just used to mosey along to over the Rockies or wherever his horse wanted to take
him. Trails.
Yeah.
Happy trails.
But you have a place in mind. He just was moseying.
Let his horse lead the way.
Yeah, you know. So I guess that's what we do. We have to do to be happy.
So we have to let the horse lead the way and carry the sleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
planning on going into Massachusetts over the weekend.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm going with a friend who is going to a funeral.
Oh dear.
And well, no, the person hasn't died yet. but what the person is doing is asking people to come to a funeral, and then we're going to go to the cemetery, and he's going to be there at the same time. But he wants to have a funeral while he's still alive. So I'm taking the back roads in through New York and Connecticut, or New York and Massachusetts, and I'm going to hit every small town I can on the way. There's about a two-hour drive.
Oh.
But I'm in for an experience, and I'm looking to enjoy myself.
Which town are you headed to?
Excuse me?
Which town?
I think it's Southampton. Southampton, Massachusetts.
Oh, good.
So tell me something. Is he dying or no?
No.
Yeah. Anyway.
He's not. He doesn't have any illness. He's just.
Well, no, I didn't ask too many questions, Leo. I just left it. What I told you is what was told to me, and right now I'm sitting back and I'm going to enjoy the ride.
Well, give him our condolences and offer.
I will.
And.
Well, I hope he enjoys his funeral so that when he does die, they don't have to go through a whole lot of shit. He's already done it all.
Yeah. Well,
to experience it, because funerals really are for the living, they're not for the dead.
Yeah.
You know, they're for people to be able to say goodbye to someone. That's what.
Is this guy Irish, buddy?
Well, you celebrate their life. You know, you celebrate their life, but not mourn their death. And half of mourning is, you know, on a personal basis anyways, what you lost. You know, it's all me, what's taken from me. But understand that a person lives, he enjoys life, and he dies. And it's something we all have to live with.
Yeah.
But it's celebrating life, and that's the whole purpose. And I'm sure it's going to be the purpose for this weekend. But when I die, you know, but don't mourn over me. You know, just celebrate my life and everything that I was able to touch and do.
Well, let us know how it goes.
Well, if nothing more, it's a good excuse for a party, huh?
There you go. If I was a drinking man, I'd say I'd drink to that. But I'll laugh to that instead.
Well, say goodnight to you, George, and have a safe trip tomorrow, and goodnight to all the folks out there who have been listening to us.
Why, thank you, and God bless you all.
You too, Guy.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
Good night. And let's see. And good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.